You're listening to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel. Good morning. Last week we studied Romans chapter 11 about how God had rejected the Jews because of their unbelief in Christ, brought about by the hardness of their hearts toward God. And as a result, God turned to the Gentiles and offered them the gospel message of Jesus because they believed it and they were saved. Today we're discussing about the Jews and the Gentiles again and how that God has ordained for each of them to receive salvation. Does God have a different way for the Jews to be saved? Are they saved differently because of the promises God made to Abraham? We're going to examine that question in today's lesson. Now let's read Romans 11:15 through 18 in the New Living Translation, where Paul is giving us an illustration of an olive tree and discussing about the branches as the Jews and the Gentiles and how they relate to receiving salvation. Verse 15, for since the Jews' rejection meant that God offered salvation to the rest of the world, how much more wonderful their acceptance will be. It will be life for those who were dead. And since Abraham and the other patriarchs were holy, their children will also be holy. For if the roots of the tree are holy, the branches will be too. Now, it's talking about the root of the tree as Jesus Christ. Verse 17, but some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the Jews, have been broken off. Now, it didn't say that God broke them off in this passage. It says they've been broken off because of unbelief, Paul says. But you Gentiles who were branches from a wild olive tree were grafted in. So now you also receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children, sharing in God's rich nourishment of his special olive tree. But you must be careful. He's talking to the Gentiles, not to brag about being grafted in to replace the branches that were broken off. Remember, you're just a branch, not the root. Romans 11:15 through 18 is describing an olive tree with natural and wild olive branches. This illustration makes it sound as though God has separated the Jew and the Gentile. But that's not the subject of this illustration. The subject is unbelief, and to warn the Gentiles that they too could be broken from the tree over unbelief. And they are not to gloat that they were grafted in and that the natural branches were broken off. Now, the way that Paul is putting these scriptures, he's making it sound like there can't be two kinds of branches on one tree. There can't be a true olive branch, and there can't be a wild olive branch on one tree. That's the way these scriptures come across. But there are trees that have natural branches growing into a particular kind of tree. But you can also graft in wild branches to that tree. So it's possible for there to be branches that are natural branches on the tree and wild grafted branches on the tree. Now the Jews are considered in this analogy to be the true natural branch of the olive tree, because Jesus was a Jew, and God first came to the descendants of Abraham who are the Jews. The Apostle Paul said that the Jews would receive Jesus Christ in the future. In Romans 11, verse 23, he refers to the Jews. He says, "And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again." And in verse 24, it says that God is eager to graft them back in, because they are the natural branches, if they will believe the promises of the Messiah in Christ. There will be branches that will bud forth from this tree, for God is able to do it, Paul says. So he is using the analogy that he's cut off the Jews. And it makes it sound as though God is just through with the Jews. He's thrown his hands up because they won't believe in Jesus, and they in the past did not give up their idols. Today the Jews are free of idolatry. That is scripture. It was prophesied that they would be free from idolatry as a nation, and we see that fulfilled today. God has not separated the Jew and the Gentile, and Paul is trying to make that illustration here, but many have misinterpreted these scriptures to make it sound as though there are two dispensations, one for the Jews and one for the Gentiles. Now the questions ask, how is God going to bring the Jews back into his good graces for salvation? There's two schools of thought about how God will accomplish this. One is to return to the law of Moses and temple worship and works in order to be saved. Many Bible teachers tell us that the Jews will be saved in a kingdom age, which will occur in the tribulation and the millennial, because the law of Moses and temple worship will be reinstated with the approval of God. They believe the Jews will be saved by observing the Jewish law. That this illustration of Paul proves that they're separate in receiving salvation. They are not so bold as to say they will offer animal sacrifices for salvation, although we know that animal sacrifices will be reinstated by the Jews themselves, but not by the approval of God in the tribulation. It's certain that the Jews will reinstate the law during the tribulation with a new temple and offering animal sacrifices, but it will not be done with God's approval in order to receive salvation. But these prophecy teachers greatly err in their teaching of the reinstatement of the Jewish law as the way to be saved. They will not come out and say that's what they're teaching, but they teach a church age doctrine which has an end result of separating the Jews and the Gentiles for salvation. They are teaching that the Jews are going to receive salvation in a different way than the Gentiles. They equate the Gentiles with the gospel message, and they equate the Jews with the Old Testament law. They want to separate the gospel from the kingdom that God is going to give Israel in the end times. They confuse the gospel message because they don't recognize that there's a spiritual kingdom for salvation which comes through the gospel message, and there is a literal kingdom upon the earth which Jesus is going to establish in the millennial, and its vicinity is going to be in the Jewish nation. The literal earthly kingdom where Jesus will set up his rulership of the whole world from the land of Israel. It's a literal kingdom where Jesus is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and all nations will worship Him as He sits in His temple in Jerusalem. The gospel spiritual kingdom of God is in the believer, but the spiritual kingdom within the believer and the land kingdom are not identical. The only thing related to each other is the king of that kingdom is Jesus Christ. The spiritual kingdom is the church, which has to do with salvation. While the kingdom that's promised to the Jews in the end times during the millennial is a literal kingdom upon this earth. And it's not just promised to the Jews only, but it is promised to the church as well. It's a literal kingdom that is promised to Israel, but it does not give them salvation. The gospel message is the vehicle by which we will be saved. Now, these prophecy teachers use Romans 11:15-18 to promote their teaching of a church age, which they have concluded is the Gentile age, commonly called the church age. And they favor the kingdom age, which is the ages after the rapture, meaning the tribulation and the kingdom age of the millennial. This church age teaching seemingly lets the church just drop off the face of the earth after the rapture. They say that the church is going to end in the rapture and that grace is going to be removed from this earth because the Holy Ghost will leave this earth with the saints when they are raptured. The believer who has the Holy Spirit and is born again is going to go to heaven in the rapture. But those believers do not contain the entirety of the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not going to be lifted from the earth in the rapture. The Holy Spirit is in this world to bring forth the knowledge of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, to convict of the coming judgment of God, and to convict our hearts of sin in order to bring us unto repentance. Without the drawing of the Holy Ghost, the sinner has no hope of receiving salvation, whether before or after the rapture. To say that the Holy Ghost leaves this earth in the rapture and those left in the tribulation will have to be saved by martyrdom or by obeying the Jewish law is heresy. To point to any other way to be saved in the tribulation or the millennial than through the grace of Jesus Christ is very serious stuff. We know that there will be Jews and Gentiles saved in the tribulation, and there's no other way to be saved than by the wooing of the Holy Ghost that points us to the sacrifice of Jesus. If we agree with these prophecy teachers about such a thing as a church age, it would be as though we're trying to say that us saints now, we have it all together, we're waiting for the rapture, and we've packaged the Holy Spirit within us, and it's not going to be left to anybody else after us. I believe we should have the Holy Spirit living in our soul, or we won't go, period. But the Holy Ghost still has a work to do upon this earth after the rapture because there are Jewish people who are going to recognize Jesus and they're going to accept Him as the Messiah, the same as the Gentiles are doing today in the gospel. We know that the Jewish people are offered the gospel message by Paul. So why would he offer the gospel message to them if it didn't apply to them for them to be saved? So these prophecy teachers tell us that the Jews are under the Jewish law, and that's the way they must be saved. Well, Paul can't roll over in his grave over this church age teaching because he's not there. He's always taught that the Jews must be saved by accepting Jesus Christ. the same way as the Gentiles must be saved. Paul has emphasized that over and over in Scripture, but no more so than in this Scripture today. It's as though these Bible prophecy teachers are totally ignoring the church after the rapture. But Ephesians 2 and 21 says the church is a world without end. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, these prophecy teachers use these verses 15 through 18 to say that God will one day cut off the Gentiles and that he will once again turn to the Jews. They use that reasoning to support their view of a church age. Now, we hear church age preached in many sermons. It's just accepted that there's a church age and it's going to end in the rapture. And these scriptures are used to promote the church age doctrine. It saddens me to hear these wonderful ministers of the gospel say there's a church age. It's just as though they are blinded about the church as the Jews were blinded about Jesus. They're blinded about the body of Christ, the church, who will become the future bride of Christ at a future time when Satan is severed from this earth and cast into the lake of fire. And all wicked men will be severed from this earth. And that will be at the end of the millennial, just before the new heaven and the new earth. Now, what does it mean for all evil to be severed from this earth and the devil cast into the lake of fire? Well, it means there will be no more evil upon this earth. And that's when God can wipe away tears from our eyes and he can give us comfort. We will be completely holy with a new body that is glorified and will be the same as Christ has. Then we'll become his bride when all evil has been done away with. But we can't become the bride until evil is taken from this earth and God makes a new earth where we're going to dwell with him forever in a literal kingdom that's going to be in the nation of Israel. Jesus, as a descendant of David, will sit upon that throne forever. The church is the body of Christ who will become the bride, and it will be made up of Jew and Gentile. The prophecy teachers who teach the church age doctrine are in essence replacing the church with a kingdom age in the tribulation in the millennial. They confuse salvation by grace with the literal kingdom that Jesus is going to set up in Jerusalem. And it will be ruled in righteousness because he will bring righteousness to the earth. There'll be no more violence on the earth for the 1,000 years of the millennial reign. But salvation has always been by the blood of Jesus. There was a forerunner of it in the blood of animals that were sacrificed in the Old Testament. But Paul makes it very clear in Hebrews that salvation only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ as atonement of our sins, and by the water and blood that came from his side when he died to show us that he died in our place. I hope that you will examine what Paul says about the church and its role, because Paul gave great emphasis on the church and he equated it with the gospel message that are for Jew and Gentile alike to be saved. Don't be confused about these scriptures that we've read you today and say that God has separated the Jew and the Gentile in his plan for salvation. To prove the point that Paul says that Jews and Gentiles are to be saved in the gospel message, we want to read Ephesians 2:11 through 18, where the Apostle Paul reminds the Gentiles how that through Jesus Christ that God has brought them the promises of salvation. In the New Living Translation, it says, Ephesians 2:11-18, "Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders by birth. You were called the uncircumcised ones by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts." It's talking there about the covenant God made with Abraham, and to seal that covenant, he required that all Israel be circumcised. That was the seal between Abraham and God. And so the Jews were called the circumcision, and the Gentiles were called the uncircumcision. Let's read that again. "Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders by birth. You were called the uncircumcised ones by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from God's people, Israel, and you did not know the promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you belong to Christ Jesus. Though you once were far away from God, now you've been brought near to Him because of the blood of Christ. For Christ Himself has made peace between us Jews and you Gentiles by making us all one people. He has broken down the wall of hostility that used to separate us. And by His death, He ended the whole system of Jewish law that excluded the Gentiles. His purpose was to make peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in Himself one new person from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of His death, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. He has brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from Him, and to us Jews who were near. Now all of us, both Jew and Gentile, may come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. The Jews will become part of the church when they believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're just as much a part of the church as the Gentiles are. There are some Jews that are being saved now, and they're very much part of the church. Jesus has not forgotten the Jewish nation, and He's not replaced the promises made to the Jews with the church, but He will fulfill those promises in the nation of Israel. They will receive great honor because Jesus will rule from Israel. And all Israel, it said in Romans 11, will be saved. I hope that you can receive this message about the church age, and that you will study it for yourself. Because if we believe in the church age, then we're going to have to discount all of Paul's writings about being saved by grace. He didn't say that the Jews can only be saved during a kingdom age in the millennial. There's no place in the scripture that says that the Jews are separated from the Gentiles in the gospel. They can't take illustrations such as we read today about the olive tree and claim that God has separated Jew and Gentile. That's not what these scriptures mean. It's talking about being broken off because of unbelief. Nothing more, nothing less. It's not prophecy scriptures that the Gentiles are going to be cut off as the Jews were. The times of the Gentiles that Jesus speaks of in Matthew 24 is referring to the time allotted for the gospel to go into all the world. One of the signs of the times that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24 was this gospel must be preached into all the world, which is to the Gentiles, and then the end shall come. That's the times of the Gentiles, the time of taking the gospel message to the entire world. And it's not meaning that the Gentiles are broken off, as he's explaining in this illustration of how the Jews were broken off. He says they're broken off because of unbelief. And we, as believers, we can also be broken off because of unbelief and not trusting in God. We must trust in Him no matter what it looks like. No matter how far it seems we've fallen, we have to return to Him because He is the root of the tree. He's all we have to cling to. This world and this world system is going to soon pass away, and there's going to be troubles on every hand. But God wants to comfort us from the nourishment of the olive tree that was planted in Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago for our salvation. There are many scriptures that warn both Jew and Gentile that unless we have an individual walk with Jesus Christ as our Savior, and unless we walk in faith in Christ, we'll not be saved. In order to become the bride, we must become the body of Christ and be one with Him as He is one with God. And that's the purpose of the Father in sending Jesus to provide a holy bride for His Son. Now, we studied last week that God showed mercy to all men. I'm so thankful that God has brought us such a great message as the gospel. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and He wants us to have peace. He wants us to receive the mercy of God. Even the earth wants the mercy of God. It says in Scripture that the earth travails and groans, waiting to be redeemed by the coming of the Messiah. Sin and evil affected the earth the same as it affected man. God has great things in store for the Jew and the Gentile in Christ. And if you don't know Him as your Savior, please pray this prayer with me. Father, we believe Your gospel message. We believe all of the things that were told to us by the Apostle Paul. He told us the way to be saved is to believe that Jesus is Your Son and that You raised Him from the dead. We confess Him as our Savior and we rely upon Him and trust Him for our salvation because of Your grace and Your mercy that You have extended to us, Jew and Gentile alike. Please forgive our sins and deliver us from evil, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we thank you for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com. secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word. It's a heavenly place, and He's leading.